This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. Last fall, hackers stole 56 million credit card numbers from Home Depot. Credit card companies are introducing chip and PIN or EMV technology to update the insecure magnetic strip on the back of that little card. President Obama introduced the Buy Secure initiative to outfit government payment terminals to support the new cards. Apple introduced a different system said to be even more secure. Well, will this technology, will all of it actually make us safer? How does Apple Pay and mobile payments play into this? And would any of this technology been able to protect against the breaches of stolen card information at Home Depot and, of course, remember, Target? My next guests are here to help us sort through our wallets, walk us through some of these new technologies showing up at a cash register near you. Robin Seidel is a senior special writer at the Wall Street Journal here in New York. She joins us at our CUNY studios. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hello there.
Hello back at you. Nanette Burns is the senior editor of business reports at MIT Technology Review in Boston. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. And if our listeners have any questions about chip and PIN technology, mind to be secure. Any questions you have, please, you can phone us at 844-724-8255. That's 844-SCI-TALK. You can also tweet us at SciFry. Let's talk about some of the ABCs of what's going on here. Robin, how do these chips work differently from the magnetic strip that we have on our credit cards?
Basically, the cards have a computer chip embedded on them, and you can see it right on the front of the card, and it creates a unique code for each transaction. And so the point is that when people break in and steal card data, they're usually stealing the data to create counterfeit cards. Since there's a unique transaction for every unique code for every transaction, the information on the card is pretty much has no value to the thieves.
So I'm not giving out any of my personal information or the number of the credit card and my name on it?
Right. The magnetic stripe that we're all used to has static information. Mm-hmm. It's got a ton of information about you, your account number, your expiration date. With a chip, there's a code, and that code changes with every transaction. So the bad guys won't get that information.
Mm-hmm. And more banks are going to the chip and signature option, though. They want you to still sign something.
Yes, this is a big issue within the banking industry. Everybody refers to chip and PIN, because that's what's used around the rest of the world. But most of the banks in the U.S. are using chip and signature because they think that a PIN is going to be too difficult, too much of a disruption for mm-hmm. consumers, and they want them to use a technology that they're used to.
Now, Nanette, Apple Pay is sort of a rival to this system, is it not? What is the difference between Apple Pay and these other systems?
Well, the difference between Apple Pay and any card that you would use with a chip or without a chip at retail is that the card information is not actually even stored on your mobile phone. They have a special way of coding your credit card so that the information on your Apple mobile phone is not the same as your credit card number. So if somebody breaks into it, they don't even have access to that credit card number. Now, the difference is, of course, that you're using a mobile payment, so you have to use a point-of-sale terminal where you can actually just hold your phone up to the terminal and send a signal.
And instead of a signature, it's using your fingerprint that it has built in to the iPhone?
Right, in the case of Apple Pay.
Yeah. Fingerprint technology. Is it considered to be any more secure, Robin or Nanette, than the other?
Well, I think one of the big concerns in the card industry, and let's be clear, Apple Pay kind of rides on the infrastructure of the traditional payment system. It's just a different way mm-hmm. of paying, but it's still a Visa card, a debit card, a MasterCard that's linked to it. But it certainly is people think it's more secure because one of the things that people are trying to avoid in the industry is merchants storing your data. This way, merchants don't even get your card information. They will get what's called a token that is held by the bank or is held by your card network. So the merchants won't have your data. If they don't have your data, the bad guys won't break in.
And then, Ed, if you're standing at the checkout line, you have the choice between Apple Pay and a chip and PIN card. What would you choose?
Well, I am not currently using Apple Pay, so I would have to use a chip and PIN card myself. I think for people who like the sort of technological element of using your fingerprint and, you know, the kind of stares of admiration you might get from your fellow checkout folks, that, you know, the phone's a great, is equally secure to the chip and PIN, I think. You know, one of the questions security experts, I think, bring up wisely is, as more people move to mobile, the bad guys will start to focus more on trying to figure out how to hack that technology, and then is when we'll really learn what the potential weaknesses are.
The spy versus spy sort of thing. Would the Home Depot and Target, would they have been breached had Apple Pay or Chip and PIN been around?
Technically, yes.
They would have.
They could have been. The question is, if there's nothing to steal, will anybody break in? So that's the question. Technically, yes, it could still have been breached, but the bad guys wouldn't have gotten anything. So you've got to assume that they might have less, you know, there's less motivation to break in.
Mm-hmm. Some companies are looking at the location data to make mobile payments more secure than it, right?
Right. And that's interesting. That could be a little controversial, of course, also because it starts to tread into questions of privacy and so on. But yeah, some new companies are trying to use data from a variety of sources to assure that you, the person holding that card, trying to use that card at a checkout, mm-hmm. is actually the person who's supposed to be using that card. And location data is one of the things that they look at. Transaction history is another one to try to figure out, could you actually execute a trade at this spot if you just did one, you know, 15 miles away a minute ago?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. Our number, 844-724-8255. David from Stamford, Connecticut. Hey, welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you very much. I got a question about the chip cards. I actually have a few chip cards that I've gotten, over the last, year or so. And I've noticed a lot of terminals now will accept them, or there's a slot for that. But I've been trying to use it dozens and dozens of times. It never works, and the clerks have no idea what's going on and say, oh, you just slide it through instead. So why is it that we've got the infrastructure out there, but it's not being used, and when is it going to be used?
Robin is laughing.
Yeah, because it is actually funny because I hear that all the time. So there's a couple of factors at play here. First of all the merchants are upgrading their technology so that it does have a slot, so you will insert the card with a chip versus swiping it with the kind that you've got, the traditional kind with the magnetic stripe. The problem is that just because the merchant has the technology at the point of sale doesn't mean it's turned on. So that's one thing. If it's not
turned on. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Right.
Is it because they just forgot that day to turn it on?
You know, it really depends on the type of merchant. Some smaller merchants get told by the people who sell them this equipment that they need the equipment, but they don't realize that they're supposed to flip the switch. If there is an active terminal to accept a chip card, then the chip card will work. If they tell you to swipe it, it just means that their technology is just not working. And it's a real issue sometimes with the clerks who, you know, if you got a 15-year-old kid or something, they don't know what's necessarily going on, although there are increasingly prompts for both the customer and the clerk to help guide you through the process.
Wow.
But I think that...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think that raises an important point, which is this technology is not in every checkout yet, and the technology that, the type of point-of-sale terminal that can allow you to use your Apple Pay is also not in many. In fact, it's only, I think, in about 220,000 across the country right now, which is really a fraction of how many registers are out there.
David in Syracuse has a comment on Apple Pay. Hi, David.
Hi, great program today.
Thank you.
Appreciate you having me on. Just wanted to skip back to the Apple Pay real quick in terms of the level of security that I think just needs to be focused on that wasn't touched on before. And that is two-factor authentication, which is really part of the Apple Pay solution, which includes a thumbprint along with tokenization. It's something that has not been seen in any point-of-sale solution thus far. So to equate it to a traditional credit card transaction is really not doing quite the amount of service that Apple Pay deserves in terms of what it offers the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I've got a comment on that. That's a good point. Robin, Nanette?
I think the banks are trying very much to multi-factor authentication is something that everybody's trying to pursue to double, triple check that you are who you say you are. What I was saying before was just that it's riding on the rails of the traditional infrastructure. That's all.
And it's interesting about the two-point system. It could be applied all across your credit cards because you can now get a notification when anybody makes a payment. Right on your credit card, and it will you go to your cell phone and tell you somebody has been paid, and you can go back and check it as sort of the second point.
I was in Texas last week, and I got denied at the point of sale at a department store, which surprised me. And I immediately did get on my and I was using a card, a plastic card, and I immediately on my phone got a text from, or it was maybe an email from my issuer saying, "Hey, are you really in Texas?"
Well, so
that's multi-factor authentication as well.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of
and
which,
another,
I'm sorry.
Sorry, another interesting part of Apple Pay that I think a lot of people have really liked is that anytime your card is used, if your card is registered through Apple Pay, but you use it separately, you know, the actual physical card somewhere, you get an automatic alert on your Apple Pay account. So that, let's say somebody got your card and was using it illegitimately, you'd figure that out potentially even before your bank did.
Talking about using your cards remotely, I want to just bring up a study that was released this week out of the journal Science, maybe you're familiar with it, that found that just three pieces of credit card information, like your credit card receipts, your time and your place of purchase, are all that are needed to identify the person behind the credit card. The study is actually entitled The End of Privacy, and it implies that a belief that you can have privacy is really only a myth. Any reaction, Robin, to this study?
I mean,
do you know of the study?
I heard a little bit about it. But frankly, I think that kind of goes across all of the way, all of society now anyway. If anybody's expecting that anything that they have is personal and held private, that's kind of a fallacy.
The new real now? Don't expect privacy anywhere?
You know, to some degree, I think that it's certainly the driving force behind all this focus on security, and people are increasingly worried about security when it comes to mobile payments. So it's a concern, but at the same time, it is the world we're living in.
Mm-hmm. And people like convenience, right? There are a lot of people who like the thought of only going out with their phone and not carrying a wallet, not carrying cash, and not carrying plastic. And so for them, something like Apple Pay or any kind of mobile payment like technology is helpful.
President Obama talked about instituting for the federal government security.
Right, and he actually has ordered chip and PIN cards, which has the industry a little bit in a little bit of a tumult since they've all been focused on chip and signature cards. So that's going to be really interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, let's go to Malcolm in Wasilia, Alaska. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi. I was wondering how liability would change switching over to the chip and PIN system. I heard, say, your card does get stolen or something along those lines, if that's actually compromised in some way, the customer could be liable for that.
Hmm. Let me just remind everybody that this is Science Friday from PRI, and we're talking about a little puzzling question. Liability. We talked a lot about having a lot of legal opinions this hour.
I don't think there's really any chance of liability issues on behalf of the consumer. What is happening in October right now? Banks are on the hook every time there's fraud. Banks pay for that fraud. As of October, the liability will shift to the merchants. Merchants need to have these upgraded terminals to accept these chip cards.
Is there going to be a shakeout in one system? Is one system going to, is like Betamax and VHS sort of question? Nanette, what do you think?
You know, I don't think so. I think it's unlikely. First of all, cash is still used in the majority of retail transactions in the U.S. today and 85% of the transactions around the world. So cash is still very popular. I don't think this spells the death of cash. I do think that as people move towards mobile payments, they'll be using cards less. But again, I don't think that cards are going to go away entirely. They're so convenient, and people are so used to using them. So if you can make them more secure with the chip and PIN or chip and signature, then, you know, that's a big improvement, and I think many people will feel comfortable with that.
But so you don't think we need a system? You know, whenever any new technology comes out, whether it's VCRs or Betamax, whether it's now we have electric cars from multiple, you know, sources and none of the chargers fit each other. Now we're going to have multiple pay that you have to have one kind of pay that's not standard. You always think that sooner or later it might shake out to having one dominant pay system. What I hear you saying, Annette, is that may not happen.
Well, as I think Robin made the really important point, that the backbone to Apple Pay or Loop Pay, you know, or any of these cards is the payment systems, the processing systems done by Visa, MasterCard, Discover. They are still the authenticators of your identity. They're the ones guaranteeing the transactions. And that system, I think, if anything, has been a little bit strengthened by Apple Pay coming in and offering a way for people to keep using that. So it's like the interface is changing, but the backbone isn't that different. So I'm not sure, you know, if I would imagine different interfaces could continue to work with that same backbone.
Mm-hmm. Visa and MasterCard don't care if you use a card or Apple Pay because they get paid every time you make a transaction. So,
but might they get paid more from one than the other?
Well, right now the banks are actually paying to be on the Apple Pay system, but they think that the increased number of transactions that they're going to see because people like using Apple Pay will offset those costs. Who knows? There are other systems out there that try to skirt the traditional system. And those are a little bit more questionable. And I think a lot of that has to deal with what consumers are comfortable with. People are very comfortable with all their, as much as people complain about their banks, they are comfortable with their banks having all their financial information. And they may not be as comfortable with a no-name company having access to their money.
Are there any models in Europe that this has happened before now and we're watching to see how it works? Or is it new all over the place?
Well, I mean, Europe and around the world has been using chip and PIN for many, many years.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. You know,
yeah, and that is the way that transactions are done.
All right, we're going to watch how they're done here. Thank you for taking time to be with us today. Robin Seidel, senior special writer at the Wall Street Journal, and Nanette Burns, senior editor of Business Reports at MIT Technology Review. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.